It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Killer Watt. My name is Bodhi, and I am your host. And today we are going to go over the Q3 2022 earnings call for General Motors. It's going to be a lot of fun. You might be asking yourself, why are we listening to all these earnings calls? What's the value in it? And the value is, as we go forward in, you know, when we talk about the news and stuff, the earnings calls provide a lot of backstory that we don't always necessarily get in the news articles. So it adds some context. So I do find value in going through these. I don't find value in listening to the whole thing because, quite honestly, there are parts of them that the presentation is so dry and scripted that I want to gouge my ears out. However, there are some valuable things that we can learn through these earnings calls. So we're going to start off with Mary Barra's, the CEO of General Motors. We're going to start off with her opening remarks. We're not going to go through all of her opening remarks. I just pulled clips because I'm not sure how long she talked, but it was for a while. So we're just going to skip to the good parts. Let's go ahead and listen to our first clip where Mary is going to talk about sales of the Chevy Bolt EV and EUV.
And the Chevrolet Bolt EV and EUV are selling at record levels thanks to their range, technology, and value. And in September, they outsold the Ford Mustang Mach-E more than 2-1.
To be fair to Ford, the 2022 Mach-E starts at $46,895, whereas the Chevy Bolt EV starts at, you know, $25,600. So if the Ford Mach-E was priced around, the current Ford Mach-E was priced around $30,000, I think the Mach-E would blow the Bolt away. And, you know, just to kind of add a hat on a hat here, if you were to put the Bolt, if you were to price that at $46,000, I don't think anybody's going to buy it. So I think the Bolt is a fantastic car, and it currently is a fantastic deal. Anywhere between, you know, $30,000 and $35,000 is really where I think the Bolt should start. So the fact that it's currently starting at $25,600 is really impressive. But comparing the two, a Mach-E versus a Chevy Bolt, isn't a good comparison because they are two very different cars. They may be in the same class of car, but they're two very different cars. All right, our next clip, we are going to learn a little bit more about supply chain and whether it's improved or not.
While the operating environment remains challenging, our team continues to adjust quickly when and where it needs to. This is especially true of our supply chain and manufacturing teams. During the quarter, we completed and shipped nearly 75% of the unfinished vehicles we held in the company inventory in June. That's well ahead of the plan we shared at our last earnings call. As we've moved through the year, we have seen gradual improvement in the supply chain, including semiconductors. Short-term disruptions will continue to happen, but we're taking concrete steps to minimize them and build long-term resiliency. This includes signing several strategic supply agreements for mature nodes where supply is most constrained. We are also working directly with semiconductor suppliers, ensuring long-term forecasts to increase transparency and ensure their planning cycles include our volume. I'd also like to recognize the GM China team. Despite disruptions caused by COVID lockdowns, morale is strong and the business has returned to profitability, and they are building momentum in China's fast-growing EV market. This includes strong sales of the Wuling Hongguang Mini EV, which remains China's best-selling electric vehicle, the September launch of the Cadillac Lyriq, and the debut later this year of the first Buick EUV on the Ultium platform.
All right, we got a little bit more than just the supply chain there, but I think it's good information to know. I think it's going to be a little while before GM and all these other companies that are currently having supply chain issues get 100% caught up, but it sounds like they're making good strides in this area. In our next clip, we're going to hear a little bit more about the EV progress, which includes new battery plants, some of the EVs that GM's already announced. So let's go ahead and listen to that.
Let's turn next to our EV supply chain and manufacturing base, where we are vertically integrating and scaling. To meet strong demand, we will soon be transitioning production of the Cadillac Lyriq and GMC Hummer EV from using imported cells to cells produced at our Ultium Cells joint venture plant in Ohio. At the same time, work is underway for higher production at Factory Zero, as well as volume production at Cami Assembly and Ramos Arizpe starting in 2023 and Orion Assembly in 2024. Construction is also underway on two more Ultium cell plants that will open in 2023 and 2024, respectively. This will help us meet strong and growing demand for the GMC Hummer EV, the Chevrolet Silverado EV, and Chevrolet Equinox EV and Blazer EV, along with the GMC Sierra EV and BrightDrop vans. All of our 2023 launches are progressing well. However, due to a slightly slower launch of cell and pack production than we expected, our plan is now to produce 400,000 EVs in North America over the course of 2022, 23, and the first half of 2024. We are always gated by quality, and everything we've learned will help us scale more than 1 million units of annual capacity in 2025 with even greater confidence.
So the original goal was for GM to sell 400,000 units by the end of 2023, but because of some of these battery delays, we're going to hear about that a little bit more in the analyst questions, but because of some of these battery delays, they've had to extend that out into the first half of 2024. Not that big of a deal, really. But if they want to hit a million EV units by 2025, they need to offer way more affordable options than just the Chevy Equinox, which is a great start, don't get me wrong. But, the Chevy Bolt is probably the cheapest EV with the range, with the specs that you can get right now. It's way more bang for the buck than any other EV out there is what I'm trying to say. And, they've sold a handful of them. I haven't sold all that many. I think I gave the number last week and I can't remember off the top of my head, but our last episode, but they haven't sold that many. So they're going to have to come up with something that's a little bit more mass market. I think the Equinox is a good start, but they're going to need some other things that are mass market. GM's actually going to talk more about their EV strategy on November 17th at their investor day. So I'm assuming we'll find out a little bit more about their plans then. Next up, we have more supply chain updates. This time it's the EV supply chain and then some other EV news. So let's listen in.
For growth beyond 2025, we continue to secure our future with strategic supply agreements and direct investments in natural resource recovery, processing, and recycling. The most recent example is a strategic investment we made in Queensland Pacific Metals of Australia to secure cost-competitive nickel and cobalt. The new clean energy tax credits in the U.S. certainly validate our strategy, and they will be a strong tailwind to expand domestic supply chain capacity and drive EV adoption. As we scale the Ultium platform, we have been very intentional to position the company for volume growth, but with flexibility, efficiency, and increased EV profitability over time. This includes fully leveraging the Chevrolet Bolt EV and EUV. We're planning to increase Bolt production from about 44,000 vehicles in 2022 to 70,000 vehicles next year because demand is at record levels. We will use our industry-leading loyalty to move Bolt customers into one of our new EVs, like the Chevrolet Equinox EV, for their next purchase. Our Bolt EV and EUV owner base should surpass 200,000 at the end of next year. If we retain them at our average customer loyalty rate of 64%, that's more than 100,000 future customers for Ultium platform vehicles. I believe we can do even better because our new EVs are that good.
A lot of marketing speak there. It is nice to know that they are, you know, securing the raw materials needed to make battery packs and things like that. You know, and I know this is going to sound silly, or maybe it sounds silly, but to me, when I look at how much raw materials for battery packs companies like Tesla are buying up and Volkswagen and Ford, it almost seems like there's not going to be enough for all of the automakers, but there is. I mean, clearly there is, but it just seems like it's so much that they're buying up. And every time I'm like, are they buying the entire supply? Because, of course, lithium and cobalt, and well, not cobalt, it's a rare earth metal, but lithium is pretty regularly available, and iron for iron phosphate batteries, that's pretty readily available. But it's just like it's purchased in such high quantities, and it has to be of such a high grade to be put in a battery. It just seems like, to me, they're buying all of it, but I mean, clearly they're not. So next up, we're going to jump into our analyst questions. The first question is about GM's battery factories and their slow progress. So let's listen to that.
Thanks so much. Good morning, everyone. Mary or Paul, maybe you could just give a little bit more color on what's going on at the it sounds like at the battery factories, it's sort of causing a slight delay there. Is that sort of a timing of some equipment coming in or some extra steps in terms of making sure the quality is there? Maybe just a little bit more color on that.
Sure, Joe. Well, one, I think we had a very aggressive plant launch plan when we started, to build the plant. Let's step back and recognize that the Ohio plant is the size of 30 football fields, and it will employ over 1,000 people. Making sure we had all our people there and trained has taken a little longer than expected. This is the first facility that we're working with LGES, and we're working together effectively to really leverage not only the expertise that LGES has, but what GM brings. And so there's no one thing, but it has just taken a little longer to make sure that we're able to produce with quality. I'm very confident in the team and how they're working together. And I think we're in that ramp, but because it's taken a little bit longer, the battery pack assembly as well, both of those, as we've ramped up, are taking a little bit longer. And that's why, instead of hitting the 400,000 mark at the end of 23, it's going to seep into 2024. But with everything that we're learning, it gives me great confidence that we're going to be able to start plant 2, 3 and beyond on time. And I have even greater confidence in our ability to scale to the million units of annual EV capacity in 2025 in the U.S. and similarly in China. So it really is just getting that first plant up and going, recognize the size and complexity of it. But I'm really proud of the team and where they're at right now.
All right. This is just kind of some follow-up on a story that we did last week. So it's nice to hear from Mary's own mouth what's going on. Just in case you missed it, she said that the Ohio plant, the one that they're currently building, is the size of 30 football fields. I don't know exactly how big that is in terms of square footage, but that seems pretty big. Pretty, pretty big. I guess I could do the math, but I'm not going to do it today. Next up, Mary's going to talk about the Inflation Reduction Act and whether or not GM has the ability to qualify for the Inflation Reduction Act.
Good morning. Wanted to ask first, Mary, I overheard you say in an interview this morning that GM's well positioned for the IRA. Was hoping you can give us maybe some color on the magnitude of the North America content and critical mineral sourcing or the manufacturing credits as you look out to next year. And related to this, your original margin targets, sort of midterm and long term, the 10% and 12% were pre-IRA. I'm curious if you have any thoughts on whether this could be accretive to that.
Sure. Well, just to maybe touch on that last point, you know, we believe we are very well positioned, and we think we're waiting for the Treasury rules to be finalized, but we think it will accomplish, so it positions us with our strong EV portfolio covering the important segments to really drive affordability to spur consumer adoption. So overall, we feel very well positioned. But if you look at it, you know, right now, over the 10-year life cycle of the credit, we will offer a number of models in the segments and price ranges that will be eligible for the full $7,500 credit. And for us, many of these are going to be high volume entries. We do think some of the vehicles will be eligible for the $3,750 credit starting in January, and then we'll ramp toward full qualification across the broad portfolio in 2 to 3 years as some of the different supply you know, comes online in North America or in the United States. We also think there's a significant opportunity to potentially leverage the tax credit of up to $45 per kilowatt hour with respect to battery cells and battery modules produced in the U.S. So that's another opportunity where, again, I think we're better positioned than most because of our aggressive plan to get the battery plants and the pack assembly in this country.
You know, this might be one of those times when it is advantageous not to be the first mover, right? GM, you know, just started building their battery factory not that long ago. And by the time they get everything up and running, depending on where they've sourced their battery materials, they might be qualified for the Inflation Reduction Act for those that $7,500 credit. At least partially sounds like the $3,750. So that's good news for GM. Our last clip we're going to listen to is about cell prioritization. Because of the battery plant delays and things like that, how are the cells going to be allocated? Let's listen in.
Thank you very much, and good morning. First, a quick follow-up on the delay in the battery ramp-up. Can you please remind us which of the EV models we're going to basically use cells from this plant you're ramping up, and therefore we'll see some sort of delay in their volume ramp-up? And I guess more broadly, how are you going to prioritize cell allocation over the next, call it, 18 months or so when you're a bit more constrained than maybe expected?
Yeah, Emmanuel. So because of the Ultium platform, we really have a lot of flexibility. So the cells coming from Ultium, which, you know, are now in production, will be flowing, you know, first to support Hummer production, and, you know, we have over 90,000 orders there, and then Lyriq, which we have really strong interest in both the two model years. You know, we're already sold out for the availables, and we have, you know, strong interest. But then as we get into next year, they'll be spread across also Silverado, Blazer, and Equinox EVs for Chevrolet and some of our other models. So, you know, we will allocate them across all of those, you know, somewhat based on demand and as each of those plants ramp. And, you know, we'll make that somewhat dynamically as we go next year. But we'll spread them across all of those vehicles. And, again, this is, you know, just a slight shift in the acceleration as we get into 24, because we'll have a plant coming online next year and the following year, you're going to see a steeper ramp. And that's what gives me great confidence in getting to the million units by 2025.
All right. Spoiler alert, folks. The cells that they currently have are going to go to the current vehicles that they're building and selling. And then after that, as they build more vehicles, those battery cells will be distributed out and they're going to bring more battery plants online and they'll be able to accommodate those vehicles as they build them. So just so everybody knows, that's how that's going to work out. I don't know. I kid. I shouldn't be so snotty, but it's been a long day, so I feel like snottiness a little bit is in order. All right, everybody, that is it for me this week, or not this week, that is it for me today. We will have news on Friday, and we did this whole thing in less than 20 minutes. How exciting is that? Hope you all have a wonderful day, and I will talk to you on Friday. Oh, yeah, if you want to email me, it's Bodie, B-O-D-I-E, at 918digital.com. You can find me on Twitter at 918digital, and if you want to be a part of our Slack community, email me. I'll just let you in. I'd like more activity in the Slack community, and I think we just need more people. Unfortunately, I'm not going to just post the invite on the show or whatever, because I want people who are actually listening to the show to be in the Slack and not just some rando bot to get access to the Slack. So I have to vet you, which is to mean I just need to make sure you're a real human being. So if you'd like to have access to the Kilowatt Slack, email me Bodie, B-O-D-I-E at 918digital.com, and we will make that happen. All right, everybody, have a great day, and I will talk to you on Friday.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.